I have been blessed with just the song service tonight. We got a blending of songs. Some of them telling us about heaven. Some of them telling us about God's love to us. You know, it's God's love to us. Have you seen it? I see God's love when I wake up in the morning and I see a sunrise that he sends to the just and the unjust. Says he sends rain on both. It's his love to mankind. But you know also it's his love when he sends chastisement. It says, "Whom the, my son, don't despise the chastening of the Lord." Have you been chastened by the Lord? Has the Lord come to you at some time and said, there's something in your life that you really don't want to come to the judgment with? I want to show you those things so you can make an adjustment. I don't know about your childhood, but when I was a child at home, I wasn't always good. And mom and dad would take care of that. And when they got through whipping me, they would have something they would almost always say. "I did this because I love you." And I thought, surely there's another way to show it than this. But you know, really, as I keep on living life and I see how God's love is shown to me, I say, wow, it was similar. I have a verse I want to start with. Jeremiah 31 and 3. Here's God's love. "The Lord hath appeared to me of old, saying, I have loved thee with an everlasting love." You know what? That's the how far his love reaches for us tonight. An everlasting love. "Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." You know, it was loving kindness from the Lord to the children of Israel when he sent them into captivity for 70 years. And he told them, don't listen to people that tell you you'll be here only 2 years. You'll be here for 70. You know, 70 years is a long time to say, God loves me so much, he's got me in captivity for 70 years. You know what he told them? You're going to be here for that amount of time. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to go ahead and build your houses, raise your families, and do something else. Seek the peace of the city where you're living in. Can you imagine that? This place has got me in captivity, and I am trying to cause the peace to be in this city. What did it say? Because it's in this peace that you helped to be caused in this city that you're going to have peace. You know, the Lord loves each of us enough tonight. He looks out and he sees eternity ahead. And every one of us in this room will step out into it one day. You know, it's his love to me to send something my way that will show me any adjustments that I need to make. You know what? If I will take those adjustments and make them, I will be eternally grateful to him when I move over to the other side and see what he had prepared for me. The past two messages was, we might would say it was a warning. Three words. Be ye ready. That is a warning. But you know what? It's also the love of God shown to us. Because with that warning, he sent us a little love message. He said, "It's not my will that any would perish, but that everybody would come to repentance." So what that tells me is he is willing to work a lifetime for me to make heaven, for you to make heaven your home. He also will send things my way that I don't understand it to be love from him, just like I didn't understand it to be love from my parents. You know, affliction can be intended to work something in me that nothing else would do. And what I want is just get out of it just as quick as I can. But you know what? I want to go back to the Lord. I really need to start getting a vision of eternity. What will it mean to make it? What would it mean to miss it. And then I'll come back when I really get a vision. I'll come back to him and I'll say, you send to me whatever you need to help me to make heaven my home. Yes. He's been showing us his love. And then yesterday afternoon service was, I need to trust him. The things that come into my life, you know it says in Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. You know what? I've got to trust him that the things he sends into my life, they have a purpose. And you know what? I need to welcome him to send them. Maybe I don't understand the purpose right now, but I will. But you know what? Nothing comes into the life of a Christian except God controls it. It was shown to us by what happened to Job. You know what? Satan wasn't just loose to do whatever he wanted to do. God had his hand on the burner. You can go this far and no farther. You know what? Up until that time, Satan had no control. Satan says, sure he's blessed. Sure he loves you. You got a hedge about him. I haven't even been able to reach him. You know what? That's a consolation to me. Nothing's going to come through that hedge except as I live for him and desire to please him, God. Nothing's going to come through that hedge except God sees it's allowed to be. After Job lost everything, you remember Satan said, I tell you what, if he loses his temporal things, he will curse you. He lost his temporal things, and he said, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So Satan thought he had it figured out. Next. Skin for skin. Everything that a man has, he will give to save his life. And the Lord said, you can touch his life, but you cannot take it. You know, I looked at what Job, how he went through that. His wife looked at all the trouble he was in and said, you need to just curse God and die. And his response was, you're talking like a foolish woman. Are we not going to receive the good things and will also receive the bad things that come into our life? And he was willing to allow God to work with him. In my life, I cannot even get a glimpse of what eternity really is like. When I think of people that have recently gone out into eternity that I have known, I think of it as being another 24 hours has passed for them. It's not 24 hours over there. There's not a clock. It is forever. And I can get so wrapped up in temporal things as if I'm going to live here forever. I don't want any of those things to hinder me. So what I need the Lord to do, and I want to invite him to do that, I want to be ready. So Lord, send into my life the things that you see I will need. So what I want to share with you tonight is, yes, it's serious, be ready. But also the Lord wants there to be an abundant entrance for us. We don't have to just squeak by and hope we make it. It doesn't have to be like the flip of a coin, heads I win, tails I lose. But we can have an assurance of heaven. I have a question for you. How many in this room are in a habit that you never let your fuel tank in your car go below a half a tank? There are some of those people. I guess I don't know any of them here. But there are some people that say, you know what? It costs the same to keep your car tank from half full to full as it does to let it run to empty. Is there anybody here that says, I don't let mine go below a quarter? I try to always fill it up at a quarter. Okay. I think we're all the same then. Because sometimes it's real easy for me to live on the empty side of my tank. You know, used to we had and we still do, the fuel tank will tell you you've got three quarter, a half, a quarter. But it also does something else. It says you have 88 miles left. So forget about what the gas gauge says over there. I can still go 88 miles before I need some help. I have found, in fact, a few days ago, my fuel gauge when I got in the truck to go to work, and I drive 37 miles to work. It said, you have 66 miles left. Well, there's a station, I don't know if you do it or not, but I like to find the cheapest station, and I'll pass up an expensive one to get to the cheapest one. There's a cheap one 20 miles from where I live. And so why would I want to fill up with expensive gas when I could get it there? Well, I was a little nervous. It said 66 miles. I should have made it, except I don't trust my gauge. I have filled up before, and it takes me about 100 miles before it says it's full. Something's wrong. It just slowly goes up. So I know it may be slowly going down, and it's going to leave me stranded. So what I would do is go get me $10 at the expensive station, and then I'll drive to the cheap one to fill it on up. Have you ever done this? Have you ever been on a trip? You're driving through the night, and you're coming through a town, and you're looking for the cheap station. There's others that are open, but surely there's one cheaper than this. And then you are out in the dark again on the highway. And in a few miles, you realize, I think that was the last town for a long ways. Have you ever had the feeling, I call at those kind of times and the fuel tank is very low, I call that a nail biter. Because now I'm wondering, am I going to be stuck out here without gas? You know, I could have been seeing $2 gas back at the stations in town and not wanting to pay it. I'd pay $3 a gallon now if I could get it, and I'm out in the middle of nowhere. You know, those are temporal things. I can run out of gas. I can call somebody to come and help me out. But you know what? There's a time when some folks ran out of gas that cost them their soul. Five wise and five foolish. You know, there was a time when they all had a burning lamp. They all had sufficient fuel for that day. But the bridegroom never said at what time he would come. So you're going to have to keep it filled up. You're going to have to keep refilling it. You're going to have some an extra supply beside that to give to it. I don't want to run my life so close to empty that that call can come and I need fuel. I want to be ready when he calls for me. You know, if I'm not careful, I take care of the needs of my soul the way I do my car. I think I have enough to make it to the cheap station. Not willing to pay the price for this high price of gas, maybe even spiritually. You know, we have a verse that says, my soul is continually in my hands. Every day I'm making decisions of where my soul is going to spend eternity. Will this one decision by itself determine it? Maybe not. But what it can do is start me down a path that could be traced back years from now. It could be traced back to this spot is where you started, heading in the wrong direction. You know, I need the Lord to guide me. There are things that we call windows of opportunity. Time when the Lord spends special attention to me to show me changes that need to be made. I'd like to look at a verse over in James. We get a little picture of it. Times when the Lord talks to my heart and I understand it to be just that. In James, the first chapter, and in the 22nd verse, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. If any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He beholdeth himself, goes his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. You know, that is so easy for us to happen when I even come to church, come to services. I behold myself in the glass. What's the glass? It's this, the Word of God, comparing my life against it, and something is shown to me that needs to have a change made. One of the ways I can handle it is I recognize it. You know, it seems like if I will acknowledge it to myself, that's something valuable. Well, not unless I do something about it. I need to be able to make the change necessary. This one, it says he beholds himself, but he goes his way, and then he forgets what manner of man he was. He didn't make the change that was necessary. What I want to look at for a little bit tonight, one of the worst things that I can do with what God shows me about myself is to not take responsibility for it. That is so easy to do. Because what I can do is I shift the blame. Makes me feel a little bit better. Adam tried it. You know, Adam could have said, when the Lord said, Adam, what did you do? He could have said, yes, Lord, I tasted the fruit. He didn't start it that way. What he said was, Lord, you know, really what he was saying was, Lord, it's your fault. The woman you gave me, if you'd have gave me a different kind of woman, I wouldn't be in this shape today. The woman you gave me, she's the one that gave it to me. Did the Lord say, okay, you're justified? No, he didn't. You know, it didn't just end with Adam. That thing passed down to other folks. Do you remember King Saul? He was in a tight spot. The enemy was coming up against them, and Samuel said, wait to a certain time, and I'll come and offer the sacrifice to God. And he waited. The day was passing. It was coming toward evening time, and Samuel hasn't come yet. How did King Saul word that? He said, you know what I did? When you didn't come, I forced myself and made the sacrifice. So Samuel, it's really not my fault. It's your fault. If you'd have come earlier, I wouldn't have done it. You know, it wasn't his first time that he had done that. When he was to slay the Amalekites, he even came back to the point that he said to Samuel, I have done the will of the Lord. What did Samuel say to him? If you have, what's this sound that I'm hearing? I hear sheep and I hear oxen. And immediately he's got to do something. He's got to say something. And so he says, it's the people that took of the best so that they could sacrifice it to the Lord. What was one of the things that Samuel told him? Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obeying is up here. It's the most important thing that I can do. No justification that I can do for something besides obedience is going to be accepted. And then I thought of Aaron. You know what? He has come in contact with God just a few days before what he did with the children of Israel. It says, when he went up with Moses and the 70 elders, the scripture says they saw God. How would that affect you for your life? If you saw God, looks like you would never be the same again. You would have such a reverence for him. But you know, Moses was called to go on up on the mount to get the Ten Commandments. And Aaron went back with the people. And when it seemed like Moses was not going to be coming back, it's true, the people went to Aaron and said, make us a God to lead us. You know what Aaron should have done after he had had such close contact with God? He should have said to them, I'll have to die first. I have seen who God is, and I've got too much respect for him to be able to do that. Did he do that? No, he said, I tell you what, bring your gold. He was responsible. Did he take responsibility when he stood before Moses? What did he say? You know these people. They are set on mischief. He didn't take responsibility. So you know what? There's enough examples in the Bible to tell me this is a human trait that I need to be on guard about. Because it would be so easy for me to have a problem that God is trying to deal with me about. Maybe I can even look into the mirror and I recognize here's a trouble. But then what I do is I say, but here's the reason for it. You know, we can go clear back to our parents. We can say, you know what, it's because of them that I am the way I am. Or you know what, I can just say, this is just the way I am. You know what, God's wanting to deal with the way I am. Because he sees out ahead. He sees what it's going to cost me if I don't make the adjustments necessary. And so what I want to do, there's a prayer that is so valuable. It's in Psalms 139 and 23 and 24. If I will pray this prayer honestly before God, it will be so valuable for me. It is asking the Lord, search me, O God. Know my heart. You know what? He already knows it. Really, I guess what I'm doing is, Lord, would you help me to see it the way you see it? Try me. Know my thoughts. And see, Lord, is there any wicked way in me? Well, you know what I can say? I'm a Christian. I am not living a wicked life. Lord, is there any way in me that will cause me to be lost in the end if I continue this direction? You know, I would like for him to check it way back at the beginning when it's a little seed. It tells us, and I'm reminded often because as a Christian, I have a list of things that I know I will not do those things. The devil has not tempted me to go do them. There is no temptation for drinking alcohol. You know, this is a big thing right now to be able to have take marijuana. I've had no temptation. But you know what? There are some temptations that come to us. There's a scripture that says, lest any root of bitterness. You know how that root, it doesn't begin as a tree. It begins as something so small, it's just a feeling that I have. And it could be justified by what has really been done to me. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you and thereby many be defiled. I want to realize, you know what? I don't know how far it is from here until I step over into eternity. But I know one thing, that little root can grow until it becomes a snare to me. Another one says, Peter asked, how often should I forgive? Seven times seven? That's quite a bit. Said, no, 70 times seven. You just have a heart that is willing to forgive. You know, that's easy to say, but it's another thing to do. But he hooked on something that is so important for me. He said, if you don't forgive your fellow man, I won't forgive you. Now, folks, that gets serious right there. Because I am very much in need of his approval being stamped on my life when I stand before that great white throne. I want to be able to hear him say, well done. There's a little song that says, it's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. You know, really, that's what this prayer is. This little verse has me in it several times. There are some other verses that have me in it that are not good. You know, when the Pharisee that went up to pray started talking about himself very much, his prayer was not accepted. This prayer will be accepted with me saying me this many times. Search me. You know, it is so easy for me to say, Lord, I tell you what, search my brother. I can see these faults that he has. I'd sure like to invite you to go search him. This one says, search me. Know my heart. Try me. You know, it's like I'm the only one in this earth now. Try me. Know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. Now it's come down to this is a relationship between me and God. No matter what others have done to me, against me, I'm going to give account to God. He didn't come to cause others to treat me right. What he came to do was how I would react to it. You remember when he came to Jerusalem and he looked over it and he started weeping. He said, how oft I would have gathered you together like a hen doth her chicks. He said also, if you had only known the things that belong to your peace. You know how much peace comes from true forgiveness? To be able to say, I'll let it go. I no longer have to look at it of who's right, who's wrong, who said this and who said that. I turn it loose and I hand it to God. If you don't have trouble with these things today, just keep on living. Because the devil's got a few things that he can work with on the Christian. And these are some of them that he would like to do. You know, the Lord still wants to provide us an abundant entrance. There is something else that he would like for me to be able to have, and that is grace. A divine power available from God. Not something that I'm able to do on my own. For me to be able to make heaven my home, I'm going to have to tap into his supply of grace. There's a song that we sing. All his grace, it's as free to us as the air we breathe. We may each have a full supply. If we will obey, here's what we have to do. If we will obey and his word believe, the very thing that I'm wanting, we shall reign with him on high. Hebrews 4:16 tells us that there's a plenteous supply of it for us. It says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our times of need. You know, if I'm not careful in my times of need, I'm trying to figure it out myself, how I'm going to get through it. There's a verse of that song, What a Friend. It says, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. And I can just see myself right now. I've run up against a problem, and I'm trying to figure how I'm going to get through it. Maybe someone has done me wrong. You know, you can go to sell an item to somebody and get gypped out of some money. Just so many things can happen. You know, the Lord's not so interested in what happened to me eternally as what I do with it. For me to be able to, all because I did not carry everything to God in prayer, taking this problem and say, Lord, I don't want something that starts me on a path that causes me to be lost in the end. I believe everyone's path could be traced back to something that started. And we might would look at some of them and say, that was so small of a beginning. But you know what? The devil would like to do the same thing with us. But the offer is out there. Come boldly to God and tell him, Lord, I don't have enough sufficient for this. But I understand that you have divine power that you want to give me. Maybe that divine power is the ability to forgive. Maybe that divine power is the ability to chop the root of that bitterness that wants to start. You know, there was in 2 Corinthians 12, Paul had a vision. And that vision was something that nobody else had ever had. And he recognized that that vision had the potential for causing him to become lifted up, that he was somebody that God had revealed it to him. It says that with that, lest I should be exalted above measure. So he even recognized the reason for this thorn in the flesh coming. There was a thorn in the flesh. You know what it really was? God coming to him not willing that any would perish. Paul, here's a risk that you have. From what I have shown you, here's a risk for you. If you get lifted up in it, and that's the beginning of you departing from me. So here's a thorn in the flesh. What did Paul do with it? He did what I would do with it. Three times he asked, Lord, would you take this away? Really, I only want good things in my life if at the end of all those good things I can still make heaven my home. But I'm finding there needs to be some adversity hit my life. And really what it does, if nothing else, it drives me more to God. Realizing, you know what? I don't have the ability. This thing is bigger than I am. So, you know, Paul had a decision to make. That poor guy had had so many things happen to him. When we read the list of how many times he was stoned, how many times he was beaten 39 times or 40 times, save one, shipwrecked, all those things happening, and now here's a problem that God could solve for him. And instead, what did God's answer come to him? My grace is sufficient for you. Would that be enough for us when we have a problem happening in our life if God himself were to say, I'm not going to take away the problem, but I have got grace for you. You know what? It was enough for Paul. When it said, my grace is sufficient, Paul could have said, I'm through. I've been through so many things, and here's one more that God himself has piled on. But what did he say in the 10th verse? Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. You know, I don't think he's just saying, bring them on, I'd like to have some more happen to me. But no, if I can recognize that they're coming from God, I'm going to accept those things in my life because he's working for me. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I believe that's what God would like for all of us to come to ourselves. Lord, this has caused me to realize I'm weak. I'm not able to forgive the way I should forgive, but I'm counting on your strength. Have you ever played the game of croquet? You know, I just remember back as a child, we got these hoops. You put them out in the yard. There is a procedure for winning. You don't just knock it through the closest one and then try to go get the last one. There's a way, and in fact, I even read this afternoon, it's not just this is number one and this is number two. It also is a direction that you go through them. This one would go the opposite direction of what you would count it to be. Taking that ball through each and bringing it down to the very last pin, if I can get it through this hoop, I've won. If you've played it before, maybe the next one that you need to be able to ring is on the other side of the yard. And so you just rear back and hit it. And it goes past where it needs to be, and now it's out in a patch of tall weeds. And you're going to have to bring it back the same way you sent it in there. What does that have to do with us? You know, at each of one of those places, if we could attach one of the trials that came to Paul, Paul went through it a certain way. He has victory after this one. The next time he's stoned, he gets up. You know, they think he's dead. He gets up and heads to the next city to preach to them again. One hoop at a time. Gone through it the way God wanted him to go through it. He even said some things like this. In Romans 8 and 35, he said, who is going to separate us from the love of Christ? And then he listed a lot of things that if I'm not careful, I could allow one of those things to separate me from Christ. But he said, none of these things separate me. And then he said to us, he's got one tap left. You know, when I won't know when my end will be. It could be tomorrow morning. You know, I don't want to live my life that if I have just a few minutes left before I breathe my last, My life has been way out in the weeds, but I know I need to get to here before I leave out into eternity. And if we were trying to liken it to this game of croquet, it's just a line drive. Can I hit it all the way to there and get through? You know, there's people that live their life that way. I'm coming down now. I realize death is just ahead. Folks, I tell you, we'll never underestimate the mercy of God. I would love it if he had saved everybody on their deathbed. But you know, he wants more than that from us. He wants me through my life to be tapped through this one and go the right direction. Come back through this one. It's a learning process for us. To where when I am at death's door and I don't even know it. You know, Paul had something to say to us. Here's what he said. He's one tap away from eternity. And here's what he has to say. In 2 Timothy 4 and 6, I don't know if they had given him word that tomorrow morning you will be executed, but he recognized it's here now. He said, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure, it's at hand. What if that call came to me? Dan, the time of your departure is at hand. You remember right at the end of the Bible, Jesus said, surely I come quickly. Those are in red letters. It was Jesus talking. And John didn't say, hold on. I've got some wrongs that I've got to go take care of. Instead, he said, even so come, Lord Jesus. I'm right here just to be tapped right through into heaven. Paul said, I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have gone through the trials that were sent to me. I have learned the lessons that God had for me. And he says, I've kept the faith. And he says, henceforth, there's a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Now, what would I do with a crown over there? Am I going to carry it around and say, let me show you what I have got? I went through all these things and look at all the stars on them. You know what it says is going to happen in heaven in the 4th chapter of Revelation? All those crowns are going to be cast down at God's feet. You're the reason that I am here. It was you that helped me to be able to have the victories in my life. But this one says, it's not just for me. It's not just because Paul was the type of man that he was. But it says, not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing. You know what loving his appearing means? That through my life, I've asked him, Lord, deal with me. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, and mine are too. So I come to the Lord and say, Lord, what I want you to do is to you search me. Because I understand over there in Revelations that one day I'm going to stand with everybody else before the great white throne. It's going to be such a serious time. It says the earth and the heavens fled away. From whose face those fled away? You know what it says? That we can stand before him, not with the confidence of our own, but it's going to be because each day I have talked to him. Lord, is there something that I need to adjust today? My dad had an illness, and I have thought before it would be wonderful to just have health and one night lay down and go to sleep and have a heart attack and be gone and not have to go through suffering. Maybe so, if you're ready. But you know what a long illness does? It gives us time to search. Is it because we're loaded with sins and we have a whole lot to undo? No, what it has is time for me to recognize I'm going to stand before this God, and I don't want there to be anything. I can remember my dad for maybe 6 months before he died. He had congestive heart failure. He could not lay down on a bed to sleep. So we would go over there and stay with him overnight, and he would just lean his head over to sleep and in a buggy. And I could hear his little electric buggy click, telling me at 4 o'clock in the morning, he's up, he's moving. And I go in there and I say, "Dad, what's the matter? You feeling bad?" He said, "I'm just making sure. I'm just spending some more time with God, saying, 'Search me, O God. Is there any other adjustments that I need to make?'" Folks, it's going to be very important for us, because the devil has a plan. The plan for me may not be the same as the plan for you. He has a plan. His desire is that at that day that I am called, I am not just in front of there that just a little tap takes me through. You know, there was a place that Paul said, "I'm in a strait betwixt two. To go is what I would like to do, but I already know I need to stay to be able to help them." You know, it would be good to live that kind of life. "Lord, I'm ready to meet you." And should that be just a self-confidence that's not grounded, "Lord, I invite you to search me. I want to be ready." So for each of us tonight, I'm thankful for this opportunity for us to be together. Because you know what? While the world goes on, while the religious world goes on with their music that draws crowds, I would like the Holy Spirit to meet with us, quietly speaking to our hearts. Eternity's out ahead. And I love you so much that I send some things your way to help you to be able to recognize and make the adjustments. There is a song that we sing, "Shall I wear that bright crown God has offered to me?" If we could get that song, I'd like for us to sing it. 363. It says a determination in that chorus. "Yes, I will wear a crown over there." And it says something about, "Let my anchor be grounded so fast in the rock, till the storms of this life all are past." Folks, we're not through with storms. They're going to come to all of us out ahead. But I want to be faithful, because I look at those places that tell of God's love. It's His love when He chastens me. "My son, don't despise the chastenings of the Lord. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth." And I am very thankful for that. Maybe we can sing that song.